Good afternoon, folks. You are listening to WMRWLP, broadcasting out of Warren, Vermont at 94.5 FM on your dial and streaming live at WMRW.org. The following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, RootsWork. Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to the 5-H Show, and the 5-H's stand for Health, Happiness, Harmony, Humor, and Humanity. And today is July 21st, 2024, and I am joined in the station with a live guest. We have Hope Ives Moran in the station today, and she has just come out with a new book. But it is not her first artistic adventure. No, 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 folks. she has lots of artistic adventures that she has been up to for a while here. Let me see, if you'd like to check out her website while we're talking, it's freedomsart.com. There you can find all of sorts of visual art, words, books and booklets, mind maps and all kinds of things. But I thought maybe I'd start here with the cover of one of Hope's booklets here. And it starts like this to get you in the mood for what our subject matter is here today. It says, "It was a dark and stormy night on planet Earth. And the people said, no more. No more of this charade of government, of medicine, of education. And so the new world began." And that's what I really love about your work so much, is it's so hopeful and it's so guiding for bringing us to this new place, this new earth. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Amy. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, definitely. I don't even know where we could stop. I know we're in lots of places we can begin, but the impetus for having you on today in particular is this new lovely book that you've come out with, Love's New Earth: Awakening to Our Collective True Nature as Love, with Rays of Hope and Reasons to Prevail.
Yes.
What brought you to writing this book?
Well, it was probably a couple years ago by now. I'd been sort of holed up, you know, after COVID and just taking it easy, figuring out what was going on in the world. And one day I decided to check in again with my higher self or my spirit guides. And I was told that it was time to get back to writing books and that I had a contract to write 16 books. And I had only written 4 by that time. and I said, okay, I'm game, but what's this one about? And that's when I received the booklet that you just read the cover of. It was a dark and stormy night on planet Earth. And from that, it goes on to how humanity must come together, that we have to figure out what works, what doesn't work, and choose the path for us all to move forward onto a new opportunity, a new kind of way of living together, more cooperative, more beautiful, more self-responsible. And it's a very encouraging message. And the booklet really set the tone for the book.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it feels like for the past 4 years, especially since COVID, I think a lot of folks found that something completely different needed to happen with the human race, that we had to find our courage, we had to find each other. And that's when I found you,
right?
You know, through one of these groups that we're still gathering. We wanted human connection despite what we were being told, and found so much strength in hanging out together. And I've been inspired by you all along. I just, whenever I'm around you, I just feel so much more hope and peace. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful, because it is in coming together that our energies, our synergy, has the opportunity to influence all people around us, the earth herself, the earth energy lines. You know, it's not what it appears to me to be. It's not just two people, you know, getting together on earth. We are affecting all around us all the time, and we're part of it. We are never separate from it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having the opportunity to speak about this topic seeds the ideas and seeds the optimistic potential of these times for humanity and for our future generations, for the children, which are so important right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of that has to do with, we'll get into your book here, where you actually cover this, you know, the dropping the fear, mm-hmm. moving beyond the fear, and not letting that hold us back.
That's huge. Dropping fear, you know, there's nothing harder, I think. Remember that quote from Winston Churchill during the war, you know, when you're going through hell, mm-hmm. keep going. You know, you can't stop and wallow in your fear. And if we look out at the world right now, it can seem pretty darn dark. Mm-hmm. There's so much negativity, so much war, so much discord, so much division and separation. It can feel truly hopeless. And that's what this book offers, is a path through this. And dropping fear is one of the skills that we need to master. And the way that I share in the book to do it is to simply feel it, to literally stop moving your body. Mm. You acknowledge that you feel fear. You just notice where it is and allow it to move through you, because every experience you have and have ever had hasn't been permanent. It has moved through you. And fear, if we don't create a big story around it, create a whole future hanging on it, has the ability to just move through us, be transmuted, and encourage us. Actually, it can give us the impetus to move forward, you know, into things that seem scary, into and beyond what is presenting itself to us. And coming together when we are fearful can be one way to be encouraged and supported in moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, to have that courage. Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage, because at this point there are authority figures in our world that are creating a reality that is not necessarily for the highest and best good of all concerned. And it's my hope that the book encourages and empowers and helps us move out of victim mode into more self-empowerment. And it's easy to project outward blame for all the things that happen to us. And this is a gentle reminder that we are far more than these bodies we appear to be in. And we have the opportunity to stand as that greater self beyond the body. And I talk a little bit about that in the book, about how we are consciousness itself, that we are awareness itself, and that consciousness or awareness is what animates our bodies. And from that platform, fear has a different flavor. Fear and victimhood seem a little less compelling when they come present themselves, you know, in front of us in our world.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's why I just love being around you, because I feel like I'm just automatically reminded of that, you know, that we are these magical beings. We are amazing.
We are
super powered, you know.
Right. And that's something that so many people have forgotten. Mm-hmm. And we have the opportunity now to remember that. And it's so key to our moving into a new reality, a new way of living on Earth, is realizing how potent we are. We can affect things on the other side of the earth. We have a ray, I call it, or that word came from the book Anastasia, where you can focus on somebody on the other side of the world and influence them in a beneficial way. You can uplift them. You can help harmonize their world and their field, and they can be transformed. And we're doing it all the time. Our thoughts, our words, you know, how we feel about what's going on around us are radiating out all the time. You know, the way you throw a stone into a lake and you see those waves radiating out in all directions. Every moment of every day, we are doing that. And so we have the opportunity to focus on somebody on the other side of the earth in a positive way, or on the person next to us, our child, our parent, you know, whatever it is. We have the ability to influence things. And we need to own that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beautiful opportunities that I share in the book, a little bit more about how I came to that and some of the teachings of Vedanta, which is an ancient means of understanding who we truly are as consciousness.
Wow. Can you say more about that?
Well, we are consciousness itself. There is no division. There is no separation. We have this idea. We've identified ourselves with our bodies alone. We think who I am begins and ends with the body, with the role I play, the mother, father, sister, brother role. And that role and our body are simply aspects of who we are within consciousness. What animates me and what animates you is that same undivided consciousness. We've just divvied it up, apparently, into these separations. We're not separate from the earth. We're not separate from the creatures or the rocks or the trees or each other. And Vedanta is quite a lifelong study. And there's a teacher named James Schwartz who taught me. I listened to many hours of his teachings. There's the opportunity to hear him at, oh my goodness, what's his website? I'll have to catch it for you later. Mm-hmm. ShiningWorld.com, I think it is. But anyway, Vedanta gives you a real structure to sort of suss out who you are and realize that you are far more than meets the eye, far more than you've been told, far more than you've been taught. And from that expanded platform, there's very little that can trouble you, in a sense.
You become untouchable, unhurtable, you know, sort of impenetrable by the fear and the darkness.
Right, yeah. Whatever happens doesn't touch who you truly are. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear about near-death experiences and how somebody might be on an operation table and their heart stops and they pop out of their body and they can see the body below them and they can hear what the doctors and the nurses are saying. And then they come back into their body. So when you realize that, you realize you are not that body. That body is something that you inhabit for a time. And Vedanta gives you a vast understanding of means of understanding this, because it's something that is outside of a subject-object relationship. We can't look at consciousness. We can't hold consciousness. We don't experience it in the way that we're used to experiencing things. And so that consciousness is everywhere, all the time, unbroken. And that explains, for example, how you could have remote viewing, or somebody who could, you know, remotely view something happening on Mars, on the moon, on earth, because that consciousness is everywhere. And our focus is very powerful for directing that consciousness. And so we have an opportunity now to realize the importance of our focus and use it for our own ends and for our own desires. Because if we allow the media to use it, if we allow the Facebook feed to determine where our focus goes, if we allow, you know, all those external images to infiltrate our great power to create, we are surrendering our greatest power. And so learning to take in to a certain degree what's happening out in the world, but also to check back in internally, because you could say that the whole world exists within us as consciousness. And so that's an opportunity we have now as we stand in a place where we have a new identity of who we truly are, becoming easier and easier to fathom and to experience. And one of the reasons that is so is the Earth's frequency is rising, which is sort of the wild card of these times. You know, we think it's been the way it's been, and it'll always be the way it's been, but that's not true. There's a different thing happening now on Earth. Do you want me to talk about the yuga cycle a little bit?
Yes, please do.
Okay. There are multi-thousand-year cycles called the yuga cycles, and 25,924 years is this massive cycle that happens over and over. And there's different qualities, different energies that happen in the sections that have been labeled in these cycles. And we are just ending Kali Yuga, which is the most negative, most destructive, most you don't want to be there part of the cycle that there is.
Well, that's a relief that we're that's affirming, and then also a relief that we're getting to the
end. Yeah, well, it explains a lot.
It does. Yes.
It explains a lot. And humanity has greater opportunities in the coming years, in the coming centuries, in the coming thousands of years. That entire cycle is circling a large star. And when we are closer to that star, we have the benefit of the energy of that star. And we are entering now a very way more beneficial energy environment that star is offering us now. And so it's a very encouraging time, because it makes mental telepathy easier. It thins the veil hiding the dimensional realities and this world. It gives us the opportunity to realize our union with all life around us and on Earth. And so this higher frequency is one beautiful aspect of these coming times. And I think for many of us, it's why we came. I mean, this is the crescendo of thousands of years on Earth, and we are here to bring our beauty, our light, our love to this transition, because any transition is colored by whatever energy begins it. And so as we are opening our hearts, as we are moving toward a more cooperative society and working together, we color this whole next thousands of years on planet Earth. We transmute and transform the negativity of the past, but truly what we are here to do is to create a new Earth, a new society. And my book is called Love's New Earth, so that's what I call it. You can call it what you want.
Wonderful. So if you hear that out there, folks, this means you and me and all of us together, we are taking these first steps in this direction, and we are able to create it together. I mean, this is very, very exciting. I'm speaking today with Hope Ives Moran, and you can find her website. It's called freedomsart.com, where you can see her artwork, which is beautiful and on the cover of this book. I love that particular piece, but you have lots of amazing pieces, and just that Earth being born,
yes.
You know, that new Earth rising up. I really do feel it. That's what was so amazing about, you know, the whole COVID experience, the lockdown. It was so dramatic and traumatic and intense and divisive and everything that I think it's sort of forced an awakening on so many people. It was, I mean, maybe that wasn't its intention, I don't think, but sort of crisis and opportunity, we're finding our strength through this.
Yeah, there were many beautiful things that happened during that time. You know, families got together, You know, they were eating meals together, spending time together, you know, being able to work from home. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful gift for so many people. You know, challenging for sure if you live in a tiny little house and you have to pretend like you're in an office looking very official and doing your job, and you have a 2-year-old banging on the door. But we do have an opportunity right now that is absolutely monumental to create this new earth. And it takes all of us. We each have a role to play. That's one of the messages of the book and of the booklet. There's a good section in the booklet about, you know, think about what is your role. And, you know, if it's not slightly daunting, you're not thinking big enough.
Yes.
And I read that and I go, oh.
And it's true. I mean, for me to find the courage to do the things that scared me the most, the most fear, and then to do them anyway. Well, like radio, you know, I mean, I was terrified to start doing radio, of course.
Right. Yeah, people don't tell you that anybody who's done anything meaningful and monumental and cutting edge for them, moving beyond their white picket fence of comfort, which I've not been very good at doing myself, disclaimer.
Oh.
Anybody will tell you that fear is involved in hopping over that white picket fence and not feeling qualified, not feeling up to the task. And one of the reasons, one of the things I discovered yet again in writing this book is that I did not know what the book was going to include when I started writing it. And the universe provides so abundantly the context, the ideas, you know, the books. I started reading certain books during the writing of this that helped me and that I was able to include. You know, I showed it to my neighbor and she gave me her three favorite books, which really enriched what was in this book as a result. So the universe provides as you set your intention, as you start walking forward. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to remember, because it's so easy to think we're going it alone.
Right, but we are not, right? And I love, you describe in your book here, the stages of development. What are they called? There's the where you let it go.
The stages of creating, the laws of creation.
Oh, right. And you laws of the universe, and you even have like a really interesting mind map.
Yeah.
Mind map on your website under offerings.
Yeah, it's free to download if you want to. That's from a while back. The one I have in the book is from the Handbook for the New Paradigm, which is a great book for any one of us who are really in the thick of this creating of new earth. It's a really powerful understanding of how comprehensive the global plan is for control of humanity, and you know, dropping the breadcrumbs through this maze of how we will make it through. And understanding the laws of creation is a really important piece of that. There's the law of attraction. You know, our frequency determines, you know, what we are attracted to and what is attracted to us. And then the second law, as I mention it in the book, is of deliberate creation, deliberate intent. It's really, really helpful to have an intention, to know what it is you are trying to create, you know, and to stay focused on that. It's like if you want to go to San Francisco, you don't necessarily know the route that you're going to take if you're on foot, for example. But if you are just singularly focused on getting there, you will eventually get there. And you just need to move through the difficulties and fording the rivers and, you know, the difficulties of getting to where you want to go. But the key is, and any successful person has done this, has stayed riveted upon what that goal is. And what we as a human family are being asked to do now is to focus on how can we have a more just society, a more cooperative way of living, a way of living where the food and water and shelter are available to all of us, you know, in a beautiful way, in a way that is encouraging and hopeful and empowering, because we are creative beings and we have all come here to be creative beings. And it, when we are, it lifts us up. It brings joy into our world. It makes the world a better place. And so the third law of creation, the first one was attraction. The second one was deliberate intent. The third one is allowing.
I love that.
I like to say it is, you put in your order at the Universal Diner, and then you let the kitchen take care of it. You don't continually say, well, where's my new earth? Where's my, new business? Where's my perfect partner? You simply allow the universe to dish up, if you will, what will bring harmony. And that's the fourth law is harmony. Mm. So there is a great flow of life going on now. And each of us are inputting our orders, whether we realize it or not, all the time, through our emotions, through our thoughts, through our actions. And so we need to allow the universe to bring us back what it is that is for the highest and best good of all. And then that is when harmony results. And from that harmony, we can recalibrate if it really isn't what we had in mind, and change our actions, change our thoughts, and those kind of things. And one of the things that's really potent is to realize that spontaneous creativity that we all have, that inspired thought, might be really the greatest and most powerful tool we have.
Yes.
As we allow those higher levels of ourselves to access our thoughts, our words, our actions, that inspiration becomes a stronger flow, a bigger river, if you will, and allowing those inspired thoughts, taking actions on inspired thoughts, mm-hmm. is a really key tool to expanding that capacity that we all have. And sometimes we curtail ourselves from taking action. Like, say you're in the grocery store and you're standing next to somebody and you have the impulse to just sort of say something slightly, bridging a gap, maybe a little off the wall, or, maybe something funny. And if you restrain yourself from doing that out of propriety or the rules of how we've all lived, you may have missed a really huge opportunity. And so trusting that flow, trusting that inspired thought or that spontaneous, quip is an important tool for expanding our abilities and our capacities to be that sort of open, free being that we truly are, outside of all the rules we've created in this world.
Yeah. And I think that's why the courage to act, right? Because it's listening to that little voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask folks out there to just experiment with that today, right? If that little voice comes to you and says, make that phone call,
right.
Do this, say that, plant the seed, do it, whatever mm-hmm. that little voice is saying, and then having the courage to act, even if it's outside of your comfort zone. I think that's maybe why COVID sort of pushed some of us, because it was so extreme. It needed something. We're like, throw spaghetti at the wall and see if it's, we just need to do something about this,
Right.
So we were listening more and more for those hints. And if they're in line and in harmony, and then we're in line in harmony. I mean, we're natural, right? We're part of this universe. Why would anything that humans create not be
mm-hmm.
natural?
Right. One of the aspects of knowing who we are as consciousness that I mentioned earlier is that we are present on all dimensions and densities in reality. One frame word is called a multidimensional self. And so our multidimensional self has greater and greater access as we attune with it, as we align with it. And as we're doing, taking action for the highest and best good of all concerned, it makes it easier to figure out what it is, our deeper levels, are those aspects of ourselves that can see more and know more and have the capacity to see beyond what we can see and, the room we're sitting in. We have, it's like a whole team. It's a whole, it's a whole team mm-hmm. that are supporting us in a sense. I used to picture, these old war movies, where you're standing in the middle of, two warring armies, and along the ridge behind you are countless, you know, soldiers on horses, you know, backing you up as you're this one little person like Tiananmen Square, for example. You know, in truth, we all have a team on powerful horses, you know, working with us and for us and behind us, especially when we are working for the greater good, when we are working for love, you know. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a beautiful opportunity.
Right, and then miracles just happen. Then you're affirmed, and then you do more and more miracles happen, and it just keeps going.
Yeah, in the beginning of the book, I talk about what I call the field of love.
I just opened, look at that!
She opened the book, and there it is.
I opened right to it, guys, and it's not a marked page or anything.
That's the very beginning of the book, remembering that we exist in a field of love. And it's the field that is working with us all the time. And it's a field of communication, of healing. And I share stories in the book of communication and healing through this field. It's a field of correction and protection. And we have the ability to see things beyond our physical ability through fields such as this. And so, if we sit back and think the world is separate from us and apart from us, we lose that ease and that joy and that wonder that should be inherent to who we are as humans. And many of us have been outside of it or lost it because of all the difficulties and traumas of our lives.
Yeah, and bringing up trauma, I was thinking about you, and I was thinking about this book, and I was thinking about our interview coming up, and I was sitting at the water the other night, and I saw this mama duck, and she had four little ducklings with her, and they were on the side of the shoreline, and they're swimming along. The little ducklings are learning to like bob and fish and stuff, and mama duck doesn't take her eyes off of the environment around her. She is there to protect those chicks. And I'm thinking, you know, this duck has probably had some trauma. Like, we would call it trauma. I mean, she only has the four ducklings. Usually they have more. You know, she may have lost some ducklings. How does she stay so calm and present, you know, and not be, like we see human, what happens to us these days, it seems like, is something, you know, bad or tragic happens, and then, boom, our lives are frozen there.
Right.
Like, what if she had been frozen when one of her ducklings got eaten? You know, she wouldn't have been able to be there for the others. And we see this happening over and over to our loved ones around us. They're getting, like, frozen in these horrific things that, granted, are horrific, you know. But think of this duck, you know. And you just made me think it's that field of love, because what is she focused on? Protecting her babies, you know. And so she's not consumed with the past or the future. She's in that moment.
Right. I remember Eckhart Tolle years ago used to share the story of a duck having had sort of a battle, a ducky battle with another duck, you know, a fierce sort of territorial one. The ducks go off and on their own, they shake it off. They shimmy their feathers. They do not hold any of that trauma in their bodies anymore. They just get on with it. They are so present to what's in front of them and what they need to focus on. They haven't, you know, stockpiled the difficulties that we humans often do, and I know I have. So it's not easy, but it's something that if we're aware of that tendency within ourselves, we can find ways to acknowledge what we have gone through and allow it to move through us and not capture it in our biological bodies.
Yeah, you tell this story of this man walking through this pack of dogs. I love that one where the dogs are snarling and growling and they do attack people. It's been known to happen, you know, and he's walking right through them and he just goes, they're not talking about me.
Right.
I love that. Just like let it run, roll right off his back.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, Lama Rangbar. in Nepal, going home at midnight, you know, through this pack of dogs. It's the only way. And he just decided those dogs had nothing to do with him. And that is, you know, as we as activists and visionaries and creatives, you know, creating a new earth, we have that opportunity too when we see what's happening on the media, on TV, on, you know, riot police harming people, for example. We can say, oh, that has nothing to do with us. That has nothing to do with me. That cannot touch me. One of the things I share in the book is that understanding of who we are as consciousness can allow us to sidestep ailments and sickness that when we sort of glom onto them with our minds and with the idea of, oh my gosh, I'm achy, I'm not doing well, I've got a headache, we can glom onto that, or we can say, no, no way. I am whole and complete. Mm-hmm. I am fullness. I am health. I am consciousness itself. I have no need for that experience. Been there, done that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you do it enough times, and it can work. You know, you can just completely sidestep that, you know, 1 week cold that you might have had by commanding the biology. And we do have power that we need to cultivate and exercise and use. It's like a muscle. We need to use it and try that. And some of those sorts of things are in the book, so you'd have a sense of what might be possible if you want to start on that path of commanding your biology a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do appreciate that, you know, you are not like just glossing over the negativity in the world. It's not that you're saying it's not there or that it doesn't affect us or, you know, that we don't need to pay attention and do something.
Right.
But I love that you're raising the vibration of how we go about doing it, not...
Yeah, that's the key difference that this book has, because it goes from the extreme of who we are beyond the body, you know, the high spiritual, if you will, understandings, and the power that brings us and the opportunity that it forces upon us, in a sense. You know, if the entire world is within me, you know, what happens here really does matter to me, and I can influence it. So there's that. And then there's a bit about the global situation, the Agenda 2030, and how we can navigate our way through that by extricating ourselves from the systems that are perhaps working counter to a cooperative and loving society by trying to create a global government that will control all of humanity down the line, if it's not already to some degree. And so the book goes from this high spiritual to this, you know, gosh, this is what the media is saying and doing right now, trying to program us all. I talk a little bit about mass formation and about false flag events so that we can understand.
I just opened to it again.
You're hot, honey.
That's great.
And so we can learn sort of the vocabulary of how we are being controlled. Mm-hmm. And if we don't learn that, we're more subject to being controlled yet again with another event that the media promotes in some way. Mm-hmm. And so then the tail end of the book is about really focusing on what it is we do want and empowering ourselves to walk forward, you know, through the maze, by having extricated ourselves as much as we can and really thinking about, you know, will I accept a digital identity? Will I accept a central bank digital currency? You know, will I start, you know, stockpiling food or creating a garden just to get me through some of these challenging, chaotic times that may come as our Earth transitions? And there's a little bit about that towards the end of the book. But essentially, it's encouraging, it's empowering, it's uplifting, mm-hmm. and it's also a great resource because of the listings in the back of the book. In the back, there's a list I call the Rays of Hope and Reasons to Prevail. It's one of my favorite sections. I never would have done that, but I was guided to put that in. And it's such a gem because it is people and ideas and companies and organizations doing really positive things, moving towards this new Earth, love's new Earth. And so it's encouraging to realize that things have been going on and happening along these lines for quite some time. and we have the opportunity to participate with those, you know, donate to those organizations in some way, or find out what they're doing and create something beyond that. There's so many businesses that need to be created. There's so many new ideas, new ways of living together that need to be formed, and that's where what is our skill, what is our role, that's where we need to step up. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it, folks. We need to be out there, you know, to whatever degree it is. What is your skill? What is your role? And helping this earth transform into love's new earth. We're moving away from fear's earth to love's new earth.
Right. And if that, whatever your heart is calling you to do, if it does feel like gulp, you know, like wow, if you get like shivers down your spine, right, and just the thought of doing it, of,
right,
oh my goodness, could I pull this off, and what would people think, and that, you know, and all that stuff, mm-hmm, if you can overcome that, really, because you know, that probably is exactly what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in alignment with the goodness of all concerned.
Yeah And the more that I stepped out there, the more and more and more that I did it, the easier it got. You know, it was totally terrifying at first, and I was trying to hold some back, and I was trying not, you know, to be covert and trying not to expose myself. And then half partway through, I just said, oh, forget it.
Right.
You know, and then I was free.
Right.
Like once I was like, oh, forget it. Don't hold it back. Why would you hide bits and try to be covert?
Right.
This needs your whole heart. Our whole hearts are required right now, I think.
And not censoring ourselves, mm-hmm, as the entire world is being censored, as it's harder and harder to speak our truth in the face of these politically correct ideas that have been installed without question, without documentation, without logic, you know, all these kinds of things, allowing ourselves to say, well, you know, I really don't see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't find in my heart the benefit of moving through life with that as my baseline.
I love that. Yeah, so just think about whatever headline you just read yesterday. You know, does it really benefit my life to carry this? Is this even...
Right.
Does this benefit anybody, really?
Right, and it brings me to remembering the power of this moment. Mm. You know, technically speaking, we only have this moment. The past and the future are ideas that we have about, you know, linear time and bodies, and they have their place for sure. But if we can decide right here, right now, in this moment, everybody listening now and in the future, that we are actually walking upon love's new earth, we are creating love's new earth, it completely shifts our perspective and our sense of possibility and our frequency. And
yes,
so that's a choice we can make right here, right now. And I encourage listeners to try that on. Try that on for size. Right here, right now, you are on a new earth that is filled with cooperation, self-responsibility, communion, interrelationship, understanding of the land, the earth, the animals, the plants. We're all in communion and cooperation and communication, and realizing that and the responsibility we have to move forward and to gift our children, our grandchildren, and all the future generations a beautiful earth, an earth of freedom and creativity. That's really our task as this generation and these nested generations that are creating this new earth. We cannot let a control structure move in and take over earth on our watch.
Right, right. And it is all about vibration.
It is. And that's the beauty of it. We don't have to, you know, be out in a mass of people. We can sit on our back deck, you know, and be emanating love all over the earth. And some of my previous books, I've shared about a meditation I did that helped to influence a beneficial outcome in a war-torn country, you know, complete with a New York Times headline that's in my book, Be the Second Coming. But as we move forward now, we are so powerful and we are so supported. We really have to step up and stand in that power and in that love and in that joy and have fun together. Because this is going to be a great time.
It is. We've had some great times through all of it, right? I mean, I think some of the highest points were things I've been with you on, you know?
Right, yeah. I have way more friends now than I did earlier on in my life. Mm-hmm. As we have come together, you know, people who think in a similar way and who want the highest and best good for all concerned.
Because there is all this great beauty. I mean, and once you kind of raise your vibration and see, you know, then you start seeing it everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, we're tripping over miracles every day.
Right. Synchronicities, miracles, mm-hmm. You know, what we need gets to come to us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you say something in here, it's sort of like, it's not exactly like be careful what you wish for, but do be aware that our negativity, you know, that's going to bring more of that, right?
Right.
We can get stuck in that.
Yeah, I find I cannot repeat a negative story without results occurring. You know, we've allowed our creative capacity to be seized by the media, by the Facebook feed, by the negativity that we see out in the world. When we focus upon it, when we curse it, when we, you know, allow ourselves to be pulled into it, we are actually helping to create more of it. And that's when we need to say, wait a minute, that's not what I want. Mm-hmm. I want something different. And I am standing here on Love's New Earth, and it's a beautiful place, and we're in cooperation, and we're working together, and take action, you know.
Yeah,
it's all just words unless we take action.
Yeah, that's the big part.
Yeah.
And one thing you mentioned right in the beginning of the book, which is what helped me get from that negativity to the positivity during this last 4 years, was forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so some people say, well, how do I get out of this negative place? You know, I'm really hating the president or the former president. You know, that just happens to be something that people are hooked on right now. For some reason.
Yeah, thanks.
Emotionally, right? All these negative emotions come up. And then it's like, well, you know, I had to find a place to where I could love and forgive the very people who were doing what I saw as crimes against humanity in my mm-hmm. neighborhood. You know, it was when I freed myself, you know, I forgave them and loved them. I mean, it was hard. It was hard. But now it's easier that I get practice with it. But.
Right. Yeah, one of the things that has instructed my path is A Course in Miracles. And that is a path of forgiveness, but not forgiveness after condemning somebody to forgive them. Not that kind of forgiveness, which is sort of the body level and the sort of very 3D level. It's realizing that we are consciousness itself. And so whatever role you have chosen to play in this lifetime, and perhaps, you know, Dr. Fauci or Hitler or, you know, Donald Trump or President Biden, all those beings are playing their role to the hilt. And in fact, they are also consciousness itself. And at that level of consciousness, and understanding that whatever happens here is in this reality, but not perhaps an ultimate reality, you know, that we have the opportunity to forgive at a higher level. And I go in, and, you know, I touch on that. Mm-hmm. There's many more eloquent speakers on that, but that's the level of forgiveness. I call it forgiveness with a capital F, you know. And it's about loving with a capital L, you know, not the personal love, the unconditional love.
Right.
And that's what we're being asked as a species to move into, you know, unconditional love. You know, we're still here. We're still in bodies. We still have to, you know, put in our firewood here in Vermont and work, you know, towards making it through the winter. We have to attend to those things. We have to tie our camel, but also we need to remember who we are beyond all that, and utilize that to create a new and better way of being together within the laws of nature, you know.
Yes, which you outline really well in this book. So, you know, these aren't new laws. These are ancient laws.
Right.
But you do such a great job of explaining them and how they connect to our daily lives and to where we're at right now and mm-hmm. where we're going, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
Because we're already there. I love that you bring it real right now.
Yeah, we are in this present moment, mm-hmm. which all eternity is present in that this moment with us. You know, just rest in that right here in this moment right now. Relax your body into this moment.
Yeah.
Silence is often a part of that remembrance. Remembering to take stillness, time for stillness each day. Take silence each day, you know. Go through your body and relax every muscle once a day. Mm. Because we're all storing up all this challenge, all these difficult things, all the electromagnetic frequencies, the 5G, you know, seeing the surveillance cameras, which is one of my bugaboos.
Yes, you have a great pamphlet about that on your website.
Yeah, it's like, it's important to be able to just sort of sink in. Oh, right now, I am breathing. I am right here. It's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it through this. And remembering that and choosing that, you know, because we can, you know, this creative force and power that we are, we can simply decide, no, that has nothing to do with me. We will make it through this. I am not subject to that. Those dogs have nothing to do with me. Those chemtrails have nothing to do with me.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, that's one I use a lot.
Yeah.
And the other one I like to say is, we will have the perfect amount of sunshine and sunlight and heat and water on planet Earth to survive and thrive mm-hmm. in the coming years.
Yeah, hold on that. Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm speaking today with Freedom Moran, and you can find more about her work at freedomsart.com. And her book, Love's New Earth, is available. I love that it's available locally as well as online.
Yes, let's put in a plug for those.
Balboa Press Bookstore. I'm sorry, Bear Pond Books, Galaxy Bookshop, Phoenix Bookstore in Burlington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wonderful.
So in Montpelier, Hardwick, and Burlington, you can get the book at the bookstore. Otherwise, you have to order it online
mm-hmm.
in those usual places.
Yeah, and you also have a lot of free resources available on your website, which is so nice.
Yeah.
Your artwork is free.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's the point in keeping it stuck on my wall or in my computer? I call myself a eco-spiritual modified landscapes is what I paint. So I'm, you know, in seeing my artwork, it opens up new possibilities. Is the intention in seeing my art, and in my books and this and that.
So this piece on the cover here, can you tell us how were you inspired for that?
Well, during COVID, I created this painting. The cover isn't an exact replica of that. It was help. I had some help by Michael Stack to create the cover. But it shows the old Earth, you know, the Earth where it's sort of covered in dark chains and lines, where there's all these divisions and structures, you know, curtailing its expansive beauty and creativity. And we're going through a process now. We are definitely, you know, turning from a caterpillar into a butterfly. That's what we as a collective human family are doing. And this artwork essentially illustrates that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does a great job of that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you can really, really feel it and know it when you see it.
Yeah. Yeah, the cover is on my website, freedomsart.com or lovesnewearth.com.
Fantastic. And what about these other books that you've written?
Well, one that the first one I created was Where the Wisdom Lies, a message from nature's small creatures. That one is illustrated. It's good for adults to young adults. And that's a message from the small creatures to humanity about, you know, when we get out a bulldozer and move the earth around, we're killing a lot of animals, and they don't have the capacity to know where to go and how to find a new place to live. And so it's anthropomorphize, is that the right word? Putting voice to these, you know, beetles and snakes. Oh my God, the snake in this book was so irate at being killed by all manner of shovels and things like that. It was like so upset with humanity. And so that's the message of the first one, is pay attention to the little creatures. The second one is called Be the Second Coming. I was given the assignment to write a guidebook to Christ consciousness, and I thought, like, what?
So when you say given the assignment, what do you mean?
I'm an interdimensional communicator.
So it's not like the phone rang or you got a text message.
Yes. I don't know what you'd call it. Mm-hmm. I call it my higher self. I call it my spirit guides. In the beginning, they were my spirit guides to myself, but now, as I've, you know, understood who I am more as consciousness itself, that undivided oneness that animates us all, we are present in all these dimensions and realities. And so I consciously communicate with levels of myself that see and know more and sort of remember what my plan was down here in the trenches on planet Earth. And so that was the message I was given.
Yeah.
And that was definitely a transformation, a process to actually write that book for myself. I gained so much from sort of writing a book. It forces me to up my game big time.
Yeah.
And then there's a sequel to that called Being the Miracle of Love, Conversations with Jesus. One of the aspects of my spirit guides is the man called Jesus, the Christ incarnate. You know, we all are that. We all embody that. It just... figuring out ways to allow it through into our voice. And it's not a religious book in any way. It's simply that oneness, unconditional love that's present in us all, giving voice to that. And then there's a book called The Key to Love, A Teaching from the Beings of Light. And that's a curious book because I was instructed to ask people to read it out loud in a group in synchronized breath, to sort of almost become one massive organism by reading at it. And it's really a beautiful bonding experience to do that.
Yeah, talk about resonance and harmony.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so those were the four books before, and then the new one is called Love's New Earth.
Wow, so you are not new to book writing. This is great.
Well, I bumble my way through it, and somehow... they get published.
Right. Well, this is, you know, these are messages folks, you know, need to hear. This is what's bubbling up right now everywhere we look.
Yeah. I do think this is the most important book. I think this is why I came to Earth to write this book. I always had this sense that I had some message that humanity needed to hear. And if there is a message humanity needs to hear, it's this one. Yeah. Not that I have all the answers by a long shot. But I can be a messenger. I can assimilate information and ideas and frequencies from many sources. And I think that's part of my skill.
Mm-hmm. And keep reminding us, you know, of where we're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rally the troops and positivity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So you are one of our neighbors here in Vermont. We just have a few minutes left. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, my. Well, I live north of Montpelier in Vermont, and I've been here for about 4 years. I live near my daughter and her family, and Vermont is such a glorious place, especially in the summertime. Mm-hmm. What else? I don't know what to say. I'm a multidimensional being, as we all are. And I, you know, cultivate that awareness and that capacity and the creativity that comes of that. I'm also an artist. I paint with photographs and acrylics and try and create things that sort of shift the perspective of the viewer into realizing our power and the potential of these times, and that there is a beautiful new world that we are creating. And it will happen in our lifetimes. I'm very hopeful and optimistic about that.
Yes, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Well, folks listening, I'm sure you're understanding now why I just had to invite Hope onto the radio show here today. And we'll probably have her come back.
Because I love it.
Wouldn't it be nice to keep everybody inspired, right?
Yeah, yep, for
we
sure.
We all could use a little boost.
Well, there's always updates on, you know, where the focus is and staying positive and remembering that we have a role to play.
Yes. I love that part, right? Yeah. All of you listening out there, you have an important role too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's natural to you. You don't have to become something you aren't already. You've been training for this your entire life.
Go get them, team.
Oh, yeah.
We're ready now for the new earth.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing with us this book, Love's New Earth, and this interview.
Oh, thank you, Amy. It's been a joy to be on 5H.
Excellent. Have a great one, folks. Enjoy the day. Thank you.